Congressional Corner with David Hawkins today. It is a pleasure, David. You are one of the brightest lights in our political universe because you really are close to it as the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here blog and column. And you've covered Congress since, goodness gracious, 1995. You know, people say to me, I've been around since 1995. And I say, I've been around since 1941. So 1995 sounds like yesterday, doesn't it?
Well, it does in some respects, but it's a good chunk of the congressional story. I'll tell you, a lot's happened since Newt Gingrich became the speaker.
You are so right. So let's talk about Comey, because it's the number one story that so many people are looking at now. A fired FBI chief gets up before the Senate, and I thought does remarkably well. The White House is doing everything to impeach his honesty and decency. How's that rolling out in both the Senate and the House?
You know, I think the House tried to turn something of a blind eye to it. Actually, they were, even as that testimony was underway, they were badly stage managing their one little bit of news for the week, which was passage of a bill that a lot of Republicans like to roll back regulations on Wall Street. And then they skipped town. So most members of the House were actually leaving town right about the time Comey's testimony was ending. So that's kind of that kind of works for them, because I think that the House Republicans especially are still eager to give this as wide a berth as they possibly can. On the Senate side, I guess in the main, it seems as though the Republicans on that committee more or less stuck up for the president, and so they didn't. I didn't see a big rift. I didn't see anybody abandoning ship, and I'd be interesting if you want to contradict me on that.
I do. Not surprisingly, I actually listened to them and thought that they were not being crazy Trumpists. I thought that they were acquitting themselves rather well by asking intelligent questions. The Republicans, of course, because the Democrats did pretty well. The big talk, of course, in the New York Times and everywhere else, it was John McCain. Awful lot of people writing to the station saying, poor guy, what do you know about all that?
You know, it's interesting. We talked to him afterwards, and he said, he kind of reiterated the point, which I think really did fall flat, about this trying to draw this sort of parallel construction. And he sort of said, I obviously wasn't doing this very well. And then one of the reporters in this little scrum said, well, are you through thinking about this? Is this story, is this behind you? And he said, heck no. And then he was back to his old McCain self. He said, this is a scandal of historic proportions. So sending a little bit of a mixed signal here.
So McCain, of course, has been trying to do what a lot of Republicans have tried to do, say Hillary's emails are every bit as important as the Russians undermining the U.S. elections, right?
That's what he's been saying. I'm not sure that that is selling to anybody else other than the Trump base. I guess I should look at some polling before saying that, but it doesn't seem to be a very cogent argument. For one thing, she lost and he didn't, you know, and he's the president now. And so his behavior, it would seem to me, merits a lot more scrutiny than the behavior of the failed presidential candidate.
Yeah. You know, I've been maintaining to our people at WAMC that Republicans will start to abandon Trump at the point at which his numbers get into the 20s, which is not that far away. Now, for the most part, the base has been staying with him, right, David?
But that's right.
But there is some question as to what the level of adherence is. In other words, I'm with him, but am I with him less than I was when it all started?
That's all exactly right. I mean, so how low? What is the absolute? What is the base? In other words, is it 18%? I mean, I always have in my own head what I kind of call the rule of 18%, which is that. If you look at polling, is pretty much 18% will say yes to any question. You know, was the moon landing staged, you know, by Hollywood in a secret soundstage? 18% say maybe. You know, did actually nine people, you know, conspire to assassinate? Was John Kennedy's assassination, you know, Lyndon Johnson's doing? 18% say, well, yeah, it sounds good. So there's sort of 18% that'll buy anything. And is Donald Trump's base just that 18%? Is a little bit more than that. He doesn't seem to be behaving in such a way. I would say a hallmark of his administration to this point has been to not try and grow his coalition, to not try and grow his base, but to just really, really, really try and indoctrinate that base to stick with him at all costs. And I'm not sure that, you know, just as a matter of numbers, is a winning strategy for even 4 years.
The question I have here is also it revolves around the number 18, because 18 is going to be a congressional election, and the Democrats are sounding like they could take the House, which would change everything, of course. Could they?
Yes, they could. Yes, they could. And I think that the there are some Republicans who, you know, speaking after work and over a beer, who are quite fearful of this and in some cases resigned to it. Yes, you know, the number of seats that the Republicans have to play with is not all that many. They're in the mid-230s now, you know, but there's some special elections happening, so the precise number is not known. But, you know, they could, if they lose 24 seats, they're done for. And right now, the Democrats have come up with a list of, I think it's 79 seats that they are willing to, and they think they will have the money to spend, and they believe they will be able to recruit viable candidates in fully 79 seats. So, you know, if they do that and they win more than a quarter of those, they're going to win. And remember that there are already 23 seats that are now held by Republicans where the voters liked Hillary better than Trump last year, actually went for Hillary Clinton, but elected a Republican to Congress. So that's, you know, that's a pretty good list of targets right there.
I see in New York State, Governor Cuomo, smelling blood, has decided that he's going to go after the entire Republican group in the House of Representatives from New York. Is there any scuttlebutt on that down there?
We've all seen that. We've all heard that. I would say it seems, you know, I don't know about Peter King down on Long Island. I don't know enough about that district, really, that he would seem to be the safest one. You know,
hard to believe.
Stefanik,
yeah.
But Elise Stefanik, sure. John Faso, sure. Chris Collins, who is one of Trump's best buddies. It would not surprise me if Governor Cuomo, it's not that many seats. He has ambitions of his own, obviously, we think.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
He has money to raise. He can raise money and he can make noise. So interesting.
People are holding their breath down there, I take it, because it's getting interesting.
It's getting very interesting. It is enervating. It's causing anxiety. I think there's, you know, I think Republicans themselves wake up every day saying, you know, what totally unexpected thing is going to happen today to destabilize Washington. I think Democrats are doing the same, but are sort of rubbing their hands a little bit. And certainly those of us who are covering all this, you know, we go down into the metro to go home every evening, you know, worried that by the time we come up out of the train 15 minutes later, the world will have changed and we'll have to go right back to work.
Does seem that way. David Hawkings is the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of Hawkings Here blog and column. He's covered Congress since 1995. David, when we come back the next time, let's talk healthcare, okay?
Indeed.